Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today we are beginning our fifth and final segment in the teaching on how to stay positive in a negative world. And this has been a little departure for me for our television program because we've taken our teaching live from one of our Gospel Truth seminars and have been airing it here over the air. Let me just remind you that this coming Friday will be the end of this series, and there's five parts to this teaching. We are now starting the fifth part, and this is talking about, it's actually using Paul's teaching from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, talking about how that he had just a light affliction. And I go into great length on today's program just to show you that when he says it's a light affliction, it's not because he didn't have problems. It's because of the way he dealt with them. He shrunk all of his problems down through looking at things through the Word of God. He was looking in an eternal perspective. And you know, this is one of the points that I'm going to make on today's program, and I really, really encourage you to let this speak to you and open up your heart, because to me, this is one of the keys to really staying positive in a negative world, is that you have to put things into the light of eternity. You know, the things that are bothering you today, there are some of you that maybe you're getting ready to go to work, you've got a meeting or something coming up, and it's kind of stressing you out, and you're worried about it, and things like this, and it takes your joy away, and it takes your focus off of the things of God. And yet, you know, a year from now, is this going to be something that's important? Is it something that you'll even remember? And I think most of you, probably a majority of you who right now have identified with what I'm saying, you'd say, well, no, probably a year from now I won't even remember this. Well, then you know what? We are obsessing about things that aren't really important. And for sure you could say this, that 1,000 years from now, after we are in eternity and we are with the Lord and He's wiped all tears away from our eyes, whatever it is that is so bothersome to us today is not going to be an issue in eternity. And when you look at things from an eternal perspective, it just changes the whole way you process everything, and it really does enable you to stay positive in a negative world. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to go back into this teaching that was taken from this Gospel Truth Seminar in Phoenix, Arizona, January the 1st, and I believe that this is really going to bless you. And let me just remind you that this coming Friday will be the end of this series. And so our CD album, our DVD album that we're offering on how to stay positive in a negative world, that will be our last day to offer this. And I think it's not only good for you to get this, but it's good for you to get it and go back over it again, because you'll need this some other time. And this is also a great way to share these truths with other people. So be ready at the end of our program to take down the information and call or write and receive these materials on how to stay positive in a negative world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul was speaking, and he said in verse 16, he had just been mentioning about how that it seemed like the apostles, Paul, had suffered more than other people. It was like other people were blessed. The people he ministered to were blessed, and they prospered, and they began to see great things happen. But Paul and the other apostles themselves were just persecuted, and negative things were happening unto them. But he wasn't saying this because he was bitter or complaining. He said in verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." I could preach on this for hours. This, in a sense, is what I've been talking about all week long. You need to learn how to live out of the Spirit and not out of the flesh. In the Spirit, you're perfect. In the Spirit, there is no lack or inadequacy. Your spirit man never gets tired. It never gets discouraged. It never has a problem. It always has love, joy, peace,
long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. That's the way that you are in the Spirit. And yet all of us experience time that I'm tired. I'm giving up. I quit. What does God expect me to do? A person who says something like that isn't living in the Spirit. They're living in the flesh. And your flesh has limitations. But the born-again part of you can do all things through Christ. And you've got to learn how, just like Paul, that in the outward man, things are happening. You're perishing every day, but the inner man is getting stronger every single day. Boy, that is a powerful truth. Like I said, I could preach on that, but that's not where I'm wanting to go. In verse 17, it says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." Now, before I even read the rest of this, let me just make a couple of comments. Somebody's thinking, well, Paul, he just had a light affliction. My affliction is so heavy. Nobody knows the trouble I feel. Nobody knows my woe. You just don't know how bad my situation is. The Apostle Paul here, if you wanted, I'm not going to take time to do it, but if you were to turn over to the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he lists his light afflictions. And they're being persecuted, shipwrecked, beaten with rods, which is where they hung you up and took rods, metal rods, and beat the back of your legs and feet until they broke bones so that you never walked exactly normal again. He was beaten with rods. He was beaten with whips. He suffered so many stripes he couldn't count them all. He was afflicted. He was hungry. He was shipwrecked. He was in the deep, a night and a day. And he just lists all of his light afflictions. So my point is, if those are what Paul is talking about are light afflictions, and if he is able to say it's just a light affliction, there's nobody in here that's had as much problems as Paul has, and so you hadn't got an excuse or a justification for you talking about how bad your situation is. Thank you for that stunning silence. People don't like this because, well, I'm offended by that. You know what? I'm trying to say that we have magnified the flesh and all of the things that we have to have. And there are people that come to me that are just depressed and ready to quit and not serve God anymore because God hasn't come through for them. They aren't walking in prosperity. And they live in a $250,000 home and they drive nice cars and they got air conditioning. They got all of this and they're upset because they don't have the newest deal. They've only got 4 plasma screen TVs instead of 5, and they're upset because they were believing God for a new this or a new that. We have become so dependent upon the flesh. We indulge the flesh so much that we magnify our problems and make big things out of nothing. You know, I've heard of kids before. I've heard people say that kids today have pressures and problems that we never knew about. I don't believe that that's true. The Bible says there is nothing new under the sun. Amen. Kids aren't under more problems. Oh, you just don't know what's going on. I mean, I don't have those shoes that when you walk, they light up, and all of my friends do. And the only reason that's such a big deal is because their values are so misplaced. You know, we've got a friend, Bob Barker, in the UK, and I always seem to get this wrong. But anyway, Bob Barker was one of those. It was during World War II. They took the children away from their families and put them out in the midst of a field and put them in tents, 100 at a time. And there was just an adult couple or something that oversaw them for 2 or 3 years while London was being bombed. And these kids, how old was he? 4, 5, 10, I don't know, but he was less than 10 years old, living out in the field with 100 other kids and just fed food every once in a while and supervised minimal amount away from their family for years. Now that's stress. But not having the designer logo on the pocket of your jeans is not stress unless you just have all misplaced priorities. And we as adults, well, I'm stressed out because I didn't get this raise. Just pull your thumb out of your mouth and grow up and realize there's something more important than whether you make this CEO position and stuff. Forgive me for being blunt, but I'm leaving. Amen. I just got to say it like it is. You need to let the Holy Ghost interpret this and maybe modify it. But this is what Paul's doing. He says, it's just a light affliction. They're trying to kill me. Every time Paul went into a town, you know, we go and check into the hotel, into the Biltmore, into a nice hotel and make a reservation. Paul would walk into a town and go by the jail and says, "Save me a spot. Amen. I'll be there before I leave town. Keep me a place." Man, Paul was persecuted more than anybody else. And he says, it's just a light affliction. I've been beaten. He was put in prison for over 2 years for something that he didn't even do. And it was just politics that held him there. And he just wrote half of the Bible, half of the New Testament. Just used the time, changed the world. It's just a light affliction. It's no big deal. Brothers and sisters, we have magnified. It's just selfishness. You know, when you are only thinking about yourself, it just magnifies these things. Satan puts a little tiny toothpick in your way, and by the time we get through looking at this through the eyes of selfishness, it becomes this huge bat, and he's just beating your brains out with something that is insignificant. It's not that important. Paul says it's just a light affliction. If he had more problems than you do and he called it a light affliction, you have no justification for talking about how terrible your situation is. It's not what's happening to you that's the problem. It's the way you process it that is the problem. Paul said it's just a light affliction. You know, your mind has the ability. I could spend a whole time teaching on this. I'm really trying to go somewhere else, but these are all important things along the way that I'm saying. Your mind has the ability to magnify or shrink things. It's just like a pair of binoculars. If you look at things and focus on it, whatever you focus your attention on gets bigger. The Bible says, magnify the Lord with me. You can't make God bigger. God is who He is regardless of what you think. But as far as your opinion, as far as your understanding goes, you can make God bigger by focusing on Him and thinking on the things of God. And God will get so big to you that when cancer comes, it's like cancer's nothing. It's no big deal. Or you can turn those binoculars around and look through the big end and out the little end, and you can shrink things. Your mind does that. Whatever you focus your attention on gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you focus your attention on what the doctor says, on what the banker says, on what the unbelievers say, on what the news broadcast is saying, on your problems, if you think about it, your problems get bigger and bigger and bigger. If you think on the Word of God, then the Word of God and God gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And by you focusing on God, that means that you are not focusing on the other things, and those things will begin to shrink. And you'll get to a place to where cancer, oh yeah, the doctor said I has cancer, but it's really no big deal. Amen. I'm either going to get healed and have a great testimony to glorify God, or I'm going to go meet Jesus. No big deal. Either way, I win. I can't lose for winning. And you can get to where you just magnify the things of God and shrink the things of this world, and you can live a life that is positive in the midst of being negative. That's what Paul is talking about. He says it's just a light affliction, and he gives two reasons here. He says the first one, it's just for a moment. You know, we don't know exactly how long after Paul got born again that he ministered, but his journeys that are described in the book of Acts, some of them took 2 and 3 years to complete one journey, and he had 3 missionary trips, and he had some time in between that. He spent 13 years before he even started ministering. So anyway, it could have been 20 or 30 years of ministry. We don't know exactly. And he says, it's just a moment. All of these problems I'm having 20 or 30 years, it's no big deal. It's just for a minute. Again, most people think 20 or 30 years. I've talked to some people that they've been believing for something for 2 months and they haven't seen anything happen yet, and they're just ready to quit and give up. 20 or 30 years sounds like an eternity to most people. Are you aware that when you were a little kid, it seemed like that a year was forever? Do you remember that? Do you have any little kids or grandkids around? And I mean, if you tell them that it's a year until we're going someplace, a year is just forever. You know, when you're immature, a short period of time seems like a big period of time. But the older you get, it seems like a year goes by before you can even think about it. Did you know the more mature you get, it gets to where things shrink, and it seems like time is just flying. The more mature in the Lord you get to where, man, if I have to stand for 5 years, like this building project that we're doing is going to take probably 40 months or something like that. And you know what? It'll be gone like that. That's nothing. Man, I feel rushed. And you know, the more you mature in the Lord, you get to where you look at things differently. You put things into perspective. The only way to understand what he was saying, when he says this light affliction is only for a moment, it's because he put it into the light of eternity. He was thinking about, I'm going to live forever. This life isn't all that there is. You don't need to live your life like this life is all that there is. You need to live your life like you're going to live forever. You are going to live forever. And you need to be thinking about that. And you need to remember, if you're living with somebody and it seems like you've been praying for 10 years for them to get saved and they hadn't got saved yet, and you're just ready to quit because how long am I going to live my whole life like this? Well, it's just for a moment. Your whole life is just for a moment. It's no big deal. You're going to spend eternity in a mansion in perfection. And whatever problems you have in that marriage, it's no big deal. Thank you for that thunderous silence. Again, this is not the way that the world thinks, but this is the way that Paul was thinking. It's just a light affliction. It's just for a moment. You know, some of you have heard me give this testimony. I've given it a lot, but it's to me the most classic example of this that I've ever seen. That I was ministering to a partner of mine in Charlotte, has a business, and he has me come in and speak to his business. And he tells him the clock is running. Listen to this guy talk for as long as he wants to. And I just go in and preach to him. They have about 20 or 30 employees. And a number of years back, I did that, and 10 of his employees got born again. They came back into a break room afterwards, and I got to talk to them one by one. And the boss paid them for coming and talking to me, and I got to lead 10 of them to the Lord. And this one woman walked in, and she had tried to kill herself the day before. She had been in the hospital because she slit her wrist, and they put her in the psychiatric ward, and it was her first day back at work. She was an alcoholic. Her husband was an alcoholic. They were dirt poor. I went over to their house after this, and I mean, it was just squalid conditions. Everything in her life was bad, and it was like her third or fourth marriage, and her husband had told her he was going to divorce her, and that's the reason that she had tried to kill herself. She was just totally ready to give up. And she came back to see me and she said, I'm not a Christian like you and Chip, the owner of this business. But he says, I know that God is real and that prayer works. And would you please pray for me that my husband wouldn't divorce me. If I go through another divorce, I can't live. That's the reason she tried to kill herself. And so I said, now let me make sure I understand this properly. You aren't a Christian. And you know that you aren't a Christian. And she said, that's right. And I said, if you were to die right now, you would go to hell and not to heaven. And she said, that's right. And I said, lady, do you realize that after you've burned in hell for 1,000 years, you won't give a rip whether that marriage worked or not? Who cares about your marriage? I said, who cares about that? And she just looked at me like somebody had slapped her. She quit crying and she says, you know, I think you're right. I need to be saved. And I said, you do need to be saved. And so I prayed with her and she got born again. And then we prayed about her marriage. I'm not saying that God doesn't care about your marriage, but see, if you put things into perspective, some of you, you've been praying and your marriage hasn't worked out yet. And because of it, you just feel justified in being depressed and discouraged and negative instead of positive. Because, oh, you don't know about this situation. You still should be positive. If you put it into perspective, if your marriage never changed, you ought to rejoice over this, that the Bible says in heaven, they don't marry nor are given in marriage. You ought to say, thank you, Jesus. This is only temporary. Amen. Oh, man, another 30 years is all I've got to put up with this. And then I'm going to live forever without this. Amen. Or you could look at the scripture where it says that God has engraven you upon the palms of his hand. It says a mother may forget her sucking child, but I will never forget you. I've engraven you on the palms of my hand. And you ought to say, thank you, Jesus, that you'll never divorce me. Thank you that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. You could still be rejoicing if you put things into perspective of eternity and realize that it doesn't matter how much you suffer here, you are going to live forever and ever and ever, which is a really long time in perfection, and everything's going to be awesome. And if you would put it into perspective, then you know what? It'd be just a light affliction. All that could happen is that at the very worst is for 40 or 50 years, the devil just give you a terrible time. That's the worst that could happen. And then you're going to live forever in glory. And if you had that attitude, you could be rejoicing. You could be singing, praising God. Did you know in some ways, spirit-filled people are the most negative, and I'm not criticizing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've got it. I believe it's essential. You need it. But spirit-filled people have an increased expectancy, a different hope than the average Christian. The type of Christianity I was raised in taught that all you did was get born again and then you're saved and stuck until you die and go to be with the Lord. That there is no victory in this life. You can't be healed. God puts sickness on you. It's your troubles that make you better and humble you, and you expected and talked about problems, and if you really loved God, He was going to send you to a grass hut in Africa and make you live in squalid poverty the rest of your life. And there wasn't anything good that was going to happen until you got to heaven. So man, we sang, "When we all get to heaven, what a day that's going to be. Further along, we'll understand why." And we sang about heaven. And did you know, to a degree, what that does, that allows people that aren't spirit-filled to actually rejoice in hard times better sometimes than spirit-filled people, because spirit-filled people know that God does want them well. God does want them to prosper. There is victory, and so they have an increased hope level that other people don't have. And the Scripture says, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And if your hopes raise and if you don't experience that blessing, then you have set yourself up for disappointment and potential discouragement. And so many times people who are baptized in the Holy Spirit get upset. Like, for instance, they have a cold and they're trying to believe God for healing. And so they stand against the flu or against the cold and it just drags on and they don't see the healing that they want. And they get depressed and discouraged because they didn't get healed. And a Christian who doesn't even believe in healing isn't discouraged because they just expect that they're going to get the cold. They're going to get the flu every year and it's no big deal to them. And so that's how it works. But it ought to be just the opposite. That if we would take the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit reveal the Word and encourage us and speak in tongues, you know what? You ought to be to a place that I don't care if you're going through a bad spot, if things haven't worked out the way you think, just think about heaven and think about, Father, praise God that there is coming a time that all of this pain, all of this suffering will be over. And we should be able to rejoice more than anybody else. And yet, sad to say, there are a lot of Spirit-filled Christians that are upset over things that don't even upset other Christians because they aren't expecting and believing for it. So you need to make a deliberate effort to put things into their proper perspective and realize that this light affliction that you're suffering is just for a moment. That's one of the ways that He shrunk things down, is He put it into the perspective of eternity. What's bothering you right now, is it going to even be a factor a year from now? What upset you today, this week? Will you even remember what it was that took away your joy a year from now, or 2 years from now, or 3 years from now? Well, I can guarantee you, a million years from now in eternity is going to be no big deal.
Join us again tomorrow as Andrew continues his teaching titled, How to Stay Positive in a Negative World. Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Stay Positive in a Negative World, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fifth teaching in the How to Stay Positive in a Negative World series is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this fifth CD free of charge when you write or call. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Woodland Park, Colorado, June 26th for the Pikes Peak Christian Artist Festival, in Colorado Springs for the Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd, and in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a Gospel Truth Seminar, July 15th through the 17th. He'll also be in Durant, Oklahoma, July 28th through the 30th, and in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
When Andrew and Jamie were young, they went to a conference on biblical prosperity. They desperately wanted to get the teaching, but simply could not afford it. Andrew promised God that if he was ever in a position to make his teaching available, he would never deny it to someone for lack of funds.
And that's what motivated me really to give, is the fact that he gives his stuff away.
Our hearts are just tied with what Andrew's doing, what he's trying to accomplish.
The partnership is helping do what I can't do.
I know that I'm a part of something so big.
And my gifts can help reach the nations and the people. Whoever has ears to hear, they will hear.
I want to give you a quick update on our project here in Woodland Park. We've called it the Sanctuary, which that word means a place dedicated to the glory of God, and that's what this place is. And we're in the process of moving out here. We purchased this 157 acres in September of 2009, and since then we've been going through permit process. The plot that I'm on right now is where our buildings will sit. The view behind me of Pikes Peak is where we will be building these buildings. It's going to be awesome. And we are now in the process of going through all of the permits, all of these processes. And we hope that in the summer, probably at least before August of 2010, we'll be able to start putting in the roads and putting in the infrastructure, the utilities, electrical, water, sewage, all of these things, and give access to the building site so that we can begin the excavation and the actual building process in 2011.
For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature.